This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. 50 years ago this year, Sesame Street went on the air for the first time, and in short order, became one of this country's most iconic television shows and, not unrelated, eventually a $100 million business. Think licensing deals, lunchboxes, Elmo dolls, all the rest. Marisa Guthrie covers television for The Hollywood Reporter. She took a trip not too long ago out to the show's studios in New York. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
First things first, just because it's kind of special television, Sesame Street is. What's it like when you get to go out to the set?
Oh, my goodness. This is going to sound sappy, but it's magical. It really is. Everybody there who works on the show is very friendly, very gracious, very nice, very happy, joking around with each other. They've also, many of them have worked there for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, the supervising producer started as an intern.
Wow.
So it really is, does feel like a very close-knit family when you go there.
Take me back to the beginning, because it was almost instantaneously successful.
It was. 50 years ago, when it premiered in November 1969, there was not a lot of television for kids, which is hard to understand, but there just wasn't. And what distinguished Sesame Street was that it was very carefully designed to teach preschool children letters and numbers and socialize them in other ways. So it was really groundbreaking television.
It's interesting because you say in this piece at one point, it demonstrated, and this is early days, right? I mean, it's like, you know, the 60s. It demonstrated what the medium was capable of.
Exactly. Television has always been a very powerful medium. Joan Ganz Cooney, who created, who helped to create Sesame Street, famously said, you know, you can learn from television. It's just a matter of what you're learning. Are you learning garbage or are you going to learn some good stuff, right? And so they decided to try to design a show that could teach kids who did not have access to early childhood education, couldn't afford to go to preschool. This was not something that anybody had really thought to do with television. And it worked, which is incredible.
So bring it forward to today for me, and we'll fast forward here. We'll get to the financial crisis where Sesame Workshop and Sesame Street have serious financial difficulties. It is now back and it's on solid ground. I want you to tell me, though, how Sesame Street wound up on HBO instead of PBS, because that was a big deal.
Yeah, the transition from PBS to HBO was a big deal. PBS was only contributing about $4 million a year, and that wasn't even coming close to covering the money they needed to produce the show. And PBS has been under constant assault that its government funding would be zeroed out. And so they needed to find a partner that had more money. I mean, it just came down to that.
It is, as you know, a brave new world in streaming and content and all this stuff. Disney's got its own service coming out. Everybody's streaming everything. Is there a challenge, do you think, to Sesame Street in the kid space, as it were?
The challenge is mostly, I think, for new programs. I think Sesame Street is so iconic, and parents who have preschool age kids who are watching it now, many of them, most of them, grew up with it, so they know it's something that they can put their kid in front of, and they don't have to worry. It's like, you know, you're feeding your kid some broccoli, you know? So, but yes, and no, nothing is guaranteed,
right,
even if you've been on 50 years.
Do you have a favorite character?
Well, I like Oscar the Grouch.
I wonder what that says about you. I don't even know.
My daughter likes Elmo. He's very popular with four-year-olds.
Fair enough. Marisa Guthrie covers media and television for The Hollywood Reporter. Marisa, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.